But right now, let's get to the Rude Guest Hotline and welcome onto the show our buddy Eric Flack, the award-winning reporter for WUSA TV9 in town. Eric, we appreciate you hopping on Grant and Danny as always. I want to start with, can Trump actually kill the RFK deal? And if so, how?
The answer is yes. There's three ways he could do it. The first and most direct is he could issue what's known as executive action, which would just cancel the lease. So he has the ability to cancel the lease that the federal government and National Park Service agreed to and signed with D.C. He could say D.C. Council, by not taking action, is violating the terms of the lease because they're not acting to redevelop the site. The second is both two and three are kind of a little bit more obscure. One is the National Capital Planning Commission, and that group casts critical votes on construction projects all across the district, which would include RFK, like development regulatory type stuff. And then the third is the Commission of the Fine Arts, which reviews design and aesthetics of all DC construction. That's the group that kind of makes sure that like nothing's bigger than the Washington Monument, and that DC has that iconic look everywhere, and that you can't just build skyscrapers everywhere. And President Trump just appointed board members to the number two and three, both those boards, the Commission, Planning Commission, and the Commission of Fine Arts. So conceivably, he could use his influence to block votes there. He didn't go for option one, which is just canceling the lease altogether.
Eric, this is not a great analogy, but I'll do my best. A lot of times my older sons and I, you know, we'll be horsing around, we're playing, we're having a good time. And then my wife will come sort of like, not storming down, but sort of move through the house with a purpose. You can sort of tell she's got momentum. And then just sort of declare things need to be cleaned up. And then we all start scurrying. Right? This is a similar situation. Reminds me of this. The peons, the little lowly DC City Council and a couple of reps from the team and Josh Harris, big deals to us, but small potatoes compared to the highest office and the leader of the free world. What are the little peons doing? How are they feeling today? Sort of they're removed from this. Like, what are they thinking? What are they up to? What's going on?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think DC Council, I think, is a range of how serious really is this threat. I don't really care what the president says one way or the other. I mean, you've got those two votes against it. So, like, the Does and Allens of the world are like, cool, cancel the lease. You have the people who are for it, who clearly want to see this deal move forward. And then you have these middle votes, like the Zachary Parkers of the world, who have kind of said, well, I want to see this happen, but we really need to scrutinize this deal. Robert White, Matthew Frewman, and I think those are the key bellwethers. Like,
Eric,
can
let me jump in on that real quick. That's the majority of the council. I would put Charles Allen in that category as well. But to me, that's just a no. It's just a way of kind of being on the fence and saying no. And we've had all the guys you just referenced on the show. But the idea that you'd like a stadium, well, who wouldn't? The idea that you'd like to get a deal done in the fall, well, no kidding. You're a no on this plan. That means you're a no. I just think, as much as I'm annoyed that she won't actually do any media on it, like Nadu or whatever, at least she's just saying, I'll never vote for this thing.
Yeah, I am not quite as like hardline on the Zachary Parkers. Like Allen, yeah, is a no, but I do think the people who say they have reservations, and I say this because I know that the team believes a lot of these people are ultimately yes votes and are just kind of dragging their feet for whatever reason and wanting to scrutinize. So going back to Danny's question really quick, I think the bigger question is how concerned are the commanders? And I don't have an answer for that yet. I know that they're not concerned. Does that make sense? Like, that's a double negative on purpose. The commanders are not concerned. And I think the lack of the silence is deafening coming from the team. They haven't commented on this. They haven't heard anything. Trust me, we've asked. You talk to people behind the scenes and, they know that he does have the power to do what he is threatening to do if they don't change the name. Now, whether he's going to do it or move on to something else is a different question that nobody really knows the answer to. But like the answer to like, can he do it? Like, yeah, he can.
Eric Flack of Channel 9. So what changed? 6 weeks ago, he was holding a Commander's helmet, high-fiving Josh Harris at the press conference. Like, where did those two tweets come from yesterday?
Okay, well, a couple things. One, he was asked on a tarmac a couple weeks ago about the stadium. He said DC Council needs to act, but even then kind of moderated what he was saying. Said, you know, we could get involved, but, you know, they're trying to play hardline. I get that. And there was a less kind of publicized part of that exchange where the reporter on that tarmac in New Jersey did ask him, well, what about the name? And he was like, well, they should change it back. But he didn't seem like really like passionate about it. He was just like, well, yeah, that's dumb. They should change it back. So what happened between that moment and then yesterday? If you were a political pundit, you could argue that President Trump was trying to change the conversation from some other things that he does not want to deal with in his, like, this news cycle right now, which is the Jeffrey Epstein thing that's going on and not something your viewers, listeners want to get bogged down with, but he's dealing with kind of a political firestorm about his connection to this, you know, sex trafficker guy that died in jail after being, you know, convicted of all these crimes for being, like, you know, connected to the rich and famous. And he wants that to go away. You could argue that anytime he does something like this out of left field, it is a political calculation to change the conversation to something other than the conversation he doesn't want to be having right now. That's one argument. The other is somebody said something to him on a golf course, and he decided to start tweeting about it. That's a real possibility. I'm not being flippant. That happens with this precedent. So those are two possibilities, because we know this is not something that the White House would have been tactically involved in.
Eric Flack with us here on Grant and Danny. So let's pretend for a split second that the president didn't post two different things about our little football team here, okay? Where were things kind of state of the union with those negotiations with the team and the city council? We mentioned kind of the, you know, a couple of guys that are, you know, have some reservations, et cetera. Where was the lobbying? Where were we in that process? And now re-enter those posts. How does that affect that timeline?
I think conversations were going on behind the scenes, but I think the team is still waiting for a real clear, you know, roadmap to what the council needs changed. And without the conversations being officially kickstarted in the council by having, you know, a vote set, having a debate set, having these official discussions, you know, that nothing can happen quickly. And, you know, you had even some of Phil Mendelson, the chairman of the D.C. Council's own council people, kind of accusing him of withholding information. Because now, just like the Mendelson was frustrated with the mayor for having one-on-one conversations, now council people are frustrated with Mendelson for kind of trying to have one-on-one conversations with the team. And then, you know, anytime they drop, you know, going back to Friday night, which seems like 2 years ago now, going back to Friday night when the council dropped their independent analysis, like, when you drop any sort of significant report on a Friday night, it's always to, so it misses a news cycle. It is to bury it. And, you know, so to answer your question, I think they haven't gotten very far unless Phil Mendelson has kind of worked out some of these things behind the scene, but that doesn't help all these people in the middle, the Frumans, the Parkers, the, you know, those type of people, the Whites, Robert White, who, you know, have kind of said, well, you know, I think I'm going to approve it, but I need more.
Eric Flack, Channel 9 in D.C., award-winning reporter who's been covering everything going on with this stadium. So the deadline didn't mean anything, basically.
I mean, not really. I mean, unless you really thought that the Commanders were, like, you know, going to, like, start taking calls from Maryland. Certainly Maryland and Virginia did call, but, you know, I think the Commanders still want to be in D.C. So, and they had always said that they always said they expected, we all expected, I expected this to go past the July 15th deadline. And we kind of knew that. So technically, if Maryland rolls in with a $5 billion taxpayer funded check tomorrow or today and said, hey, come build and we'll pay for the entire thing. Yeah, conceivably, the Commanders could sign that deal today and we could all be talking about FedEx 2.0 out, you know, or Northwest 2.0, whatever it's called, out in Prince George's County. But the Commanders don't want that. D.C. doesn't want that. Everybody still wants the stadium. Well, the majority of people still want the stadium, including the most important people. The Commanders still want the stadium in RFK.
Has Maryland moved on to a degree? I mean, Wes Moore's talking about time to move forward and you know, sort of ran the idea of, yeah, there's a, you know, someone's going to play there 8 days a year. We've got to really redevelop that. Have they kind of moved on without this as a possibility?
Yeah, I think that depends on who you ask. I know the team is taking calls from Maryland. Is that Prince George's County? Is that Wes Moore's office? You know, that part's a little unclear. Wes Moore is clearly saying publicly, we're moving on, we're redeveloping the land. But, you know, if you don't think that they're kind of watching this with just the slim hope, you know, the Jim Carrey Dumb and Dumber, so you're saying there's a chance that if this deal falls apart, Maryland is the only legitimate option because Virginia doesn't have a site, that Maryland wouldn't be ready to have their ducks in a row, that would be one of the most mismanaged, you know, situations, opportunities of all time, not to at least be ready to pounce. So I don't think Maryland has, like, you know, or Wes Moore has convened a, you know, Commander's Stadium task force behind closed doors to start, you know, putting a package together. But I mean, I think there's somewhere in between we've moved on to we're, you know, not even going to consider the possibility of keeping the chance open should all of this fall apart. Because as we just found out 24 hours ago,
who thought we'd be talking about a Donald Trump tweet here at this point, unraveling this whole thing?
Eric,
unexpected stuff seems to happen all the time.
I'm going to throw Eric on hold because something's going on with his phone right now. Sounds like maybe he just jumped in a pool.
Stepped in the largest room ever with the biggest echo possible and right. Held the phone at arm's length.
I'm guessing pool. I think he's got one of those underwater phones, I think, is how it worked. You can, of course, listen to our Eric Flack interview on the Odyssey app, wherever you are, or watch us live on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream and a podcast. If you're just jumping in the car when we're done, we're getting some of the specifics on whether or not Donald Trump could actually put a kibosh on the stadium deal in D.C., and he says yes, and there's three ways he could do it. Eric, I'm going to circle back here before we let you go really quick. What's your best guess? I mean, you cover politics. We don't. You have covered everything going on in D.C. for an extended period of time. Do you think this was just a comment and a tweet that, you know, you could fire it off and not think anything of it and move on, and then everyone else is just going crazy about this for days on end? Or do you actually think this is a real thing, that he actually is going to engage?
Wow, that's a really good question. I think so much of what Donald Trump does as a politician depends on what the crowd tells him. And I think it goes back to, like, even his, like, political speeches. If somehow this catches fire and he feels like his base in some way, shape, or form wants him to fight this fight, and it's going to bring him positive publicity in the way that he wants it, I think he would pursue it. The question is this really going to matter to anybody outside the Beltway? And is the juice worth the squeeze for him? I'm going to say he moves on. I'm going to say this is a 24-hour news cycle thing. I reserve the right to be wrong in a situation like this.
Goodness gracious. What a timeline we are in right now. Eric, thank you, buddy.
You got it.
Be good. There's Eric Flack of Channel 9 in town.